excitement,
riveting, love,
forgiveness,
shy,
dawn,
fly.
Hello, 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 and good evening, all of you fly people. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight with your homegirl, Shay Dawn, here at Fly Conversations with Shay Dawn. It is a pleasure to be here tonight. Listen, I am excited tonight. By far, already one of my favorite shows, probably my favorite. I'm not saying I didn't love all of my other guests, but tonight, for a special Mother's Day edition, I have my own mommy, my ace, my queen, my heart, my world, my roadie, my support. I have her with me tonight. I get to interview my mommy tonight and talk to her about motherhood and her experiences of motherhood. Listen, people, now somebody may say, well, what makes you believe or think that, you know, your mother can give that kind of advice or can talk to motherhood? I'll tell you what. My mother is the mother, birth mother of 11 children. Birth mother. Not just, you know, that's not including godchildren, that's not including foster children, that's not including children that she somehow adopted that are not hers and she's never seen. She's got quite a few of those kinds of children. And then she's got the children that she's adopted from her children's friends and they're calling they're calling her mom and things like that. So she's mom everywhere. Not only that, I'm trying to go through here. Sorry, I'm trying to go through here. Not only that, she's also a pastor. So she's got spiritual children. She is an all-around mother in every sense of the term mother. So, y'all, welcome my very own mother, like I said, my mommy, Ruth Ward, to the show. Mommy, you there?
Am I here?
Yeah. Ah, there you go. I hear you, girl.
Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes,
hey.
Ma'am, I can hear you. Thank you so much for being on tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is definitely a pleasure to have you. I know this is so far out of your comfort zone. This we know. but hey, we're going to push the envelope because I'm proud of you. You've been a mother for 40 plus years, 50 years. And, you know, you have a lot of wisdom in that area. I know you've helped me a lot with mine, not just me, my siblings, people around you with children that may ask you, Miss Ruth, what's this, what's that? So you definitely have a storehouse full of things that you could tell mothers that could help them. So without any, what's that? I thought you were getting ready to say something.
I know. You were just giving me so much accolades that I'm like, wow.
Well, see, you don't look at yourself. I look at you all the time, so I know what's going on. So without going any further into all that, let's go ahead and get started, okay? So having been a mother for, let's just round off and just say 50 right now, for 50 years, just tell us, like, what has that really been like? Like, because, I mean, that's a long time to be a mother. And I would almost think to say, like, it's hard to see anything else. As far as, you know, if I were you, it would be hard to see anything else aside from mother. So what has it been like just being a mother?
Well, first of all, let me just kind of like back it up a little bit, Shaydon. We ain't gonna say quite 50, because that's making me a little bit too young, but close to it. But as being a mother, I really found it to be an experience. It has its moments, its times, its ups and downs, and oh, it's tests, trials. I won't say no tribulations because I ain't been through none of that. But it has been testing. Mm-hmm. It has been trying times. But overall, I have really, you know, really kind of enjoyed it, to be honest.
Cool. So tell the people, like, what are some of the things particularly about motherhood that you enjoyed?
Well, let's see. I enjoy the fact of, you know, actually my children actually are a joy to me. They really, really are. They are the love of my life. I've enjoyed the fact of watching each and every one of them as they have grown from being an infant and into men and women, into adulthood, and watching how they have, just watching them grow from being little people to big people and seeing how they have developed and the things that they know and how to do. And it's just really been awesome watching it. It really has.
Cool. So now, I don't know if I said this. I think I did say giving birth to 11 children. Now, I'm gonna just be honest. I got the one, and you know, I say I'm done. I just don't know how you did it. I often sometimes sit back, and this one likes to drive me to just want to just scream. So in a house of little ones, like, how did you do it?
You know, Shaydon, that's a question a lot of people ask me. And honestly, to me, it was nobody but the good Lord. It was nobody but God. Because, I mean, as the children begin to come, you know, the babies and stuff, it was like, I can't say that I regretted anything or regretted them. And it's just like, I don't know, a lot of times people say once you become a mother, the motherly instinct kicks in. It do for some and some it mm-hmm. don't, let's be real. But I guess
That's
with
true.
Me, it kicked in. And when I was having my babies, it was like, okay, I know that I got to protect this little one. I got to take care of this little one. And you know what, it's so funny because most people would say, after you've had maybe your first or second child, okay, after that, the thrill is gone and you just, but for me, each one that I had was, I was very excited. I really was. It was like a new experience with me all over again. It was my little one, my baby. I loved the smell of them. I loved the touch of them. I loved them to nestle under my neck. I loved to cuddle with them. It was just so amazing to me, and to watch them and to give them their little baths and to dress them and to find things to fit them. I loved it all. I really did. I loved the experience of it all. Yeah, and it at times, don't get me wrong, at times I got a little bit overwhelmed sometimes because, you know, when you're in the house and, you know, the father's working and the kids are small, sometimes it did get a little bit overwhelming because you're trying to do certain things and you got the baby crying and you got the little one, you know, saying, well, mommy, I need, you know. So sometimes, yeah, it was like I had to, like, just break away for a minute and go into another room. And sometimes I would stand there and I would just look up and I would breathe. And I was like, okay, God, you got to help me with this now. Okay. And I would pull myself back together, and I go back in, and I would tell the little one, I said, okay, hold on 1 minute. Let mommy take care of the baby, and then I'll get you what you want, okay? And then I go take care of the baby, get the baby settled, then I go back to the other. So it was, yeah, but overall with my children, and even as they got older, a little bit older, like, you know, where they was old enough to play with each other and whatever like that, people used to tell me all the time, girl, how do you do it? I'm like, do what? You got all these kids in the house, and they're making all this noise. And I'm like, what noise? You know, it wasn't noise to me. Daddy, my husband would come home, and he'd be like, these kids put it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I could sit in the room, and literally I could watch television or I could cook, and the kids would be in their room. But it's not that, to me, it wasn't noise, because they were playing. Okay, and yeah. I knew the difference between the sound of them playing with each other and having fun and laughing loud, and sometimes they'd be a little bump, and I would go in and check, and I'd be like, okay, what happened? Oh, so-and-so might have just fell off the bed. Well, is you okay? You're fine. All right, and they go back to playing, and I go back to what I was doing. As long as I did not hear anything that sounded like a blood-curdling scream, they were fine. And I learned that I couldn't run for every noise that they made.
Yeah, and we've noticed that you perfected that gift of sitting in a room with all the noise and not hearing it. Because you still do that to this day. Let me just tell the world that she will sit in a room and ignore us completely, like she don't hear us. And I just want the world to know that about you.
I learned how to, as they say, I learned how to turn it off to keep my sanity. Because you got to learn these things. As a mother, I learned how to do that. I did.
And, I mean, I will say I've learned, I think I've picked up on some of that, because I can tell the difference, of course, and I believe every mother that is, in fact, a mother, like you said, because every woman that has a child does not make her mother. But a mother indeed can tell the difference between her child crying and hurt, or just, you know, or just them playing around, and it's a whole totally different feel, and it's a different even connection when they're actually crying because they're hurt. It's something you act to me, almost feels like it's something you can feel. Like, no, that just don't feel right. Almost kind of like how sometimes I know I've talked to you, we've been talking, or we'll be riding, and you can look down the street and say, oh, that's my child right there. And I'm looking like, who? Where? Just walked away, walked out that car, that's my child. What are you talking? And lo and behold, it's one of your children.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I could be anywhere. And, you know, I can look down, like you said, I can look down the street, and I know my child's walk. I know their look, you know, a certain look about them. I know I can pick it up. So, yeah, as being a mother, I could do that.
So now let me ask you some in-depth questions here. Being a mother, and like I said, not just a mother, but your own children, godchildren, foster children, pastor, all of those, tell us some of the most difficult things you've had to encounter in motherhood.
The most difficult things that I've had to encounter?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Difficult in how you mean? What are you?
I mean, or better yet, challenging. Challenging, because raising children in itself is, you know, it can be challenging. It, you know, there are challenges with it. And some challenges may stick out more than others. So, like, what are some of the things that that were really heavy challenges for you in motherhood?
Okay. And you want me to be honest, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. One of the most challenging things, or the most difficult things, I think, as a mother, what happened to me that actually comes to my mind. And I hope that nobody takes this the wrong way. Please don't take this the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love each and every one of my children. I do. The most difficult thing I think came to me is when I actually found out that my baby girl was gay.
Mm.
And it hurt me real bad. And at that time I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't push her away, but I was hurt. I didn't, you know, it's one of those questions you say, like, we ask, why me? Okay, well,
right.
why, what did I do that this had to happen? Why, you know, why me? And it hurts real, real bad. And that was difficult. And then my baby boy, I kind of like, oh, God, it's just like, what is going on here? Why is this happening to me? What did I do? And I love them so much, but what, you know, and I felt like it was something that I did wrong. I felt like it was something that I didn't do as a mother. I felt like it was all my fault that maybe if I had a, I don't know what it was, but I just felt like it was something that I did not do as a mother, okay? But what began to happen, I had to like, deal with myself with that, and I had to realize that no matter what, she's still mine. He's still mine.
Right.
No matter what.
Right.
And I love them. I love them for who they are, you know, and I often tell her, all the time. It doesn't matter to me what you portray, whatever. But to me, you're going to always be my baby girl. He will always be my baby boy. So it doesn't matter
Absolutely.
To me. And when I see them, you know, when they come and I see them, we hug, we kiss, I love them. And I don't see whatever it is. I just see my children. That's it.
Exactly.
I see my children, you know. So but to me, I think that might have been, like, one of the most difficult things, I think, that really, really happened to me, that really, like, kind of blew me, you know. Because let's be honest about it. We always think that these things happen to other people, somebody
right.
else's family.
Right.
You know, not me, not mine. This, no. But it goes to show it can happen anywhere. Anybody.
Absolutely.
It does not matter what your stature is and what you think you are, but it happens. So what are we going to do? I'm going to love you anyway. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
So I think that was it. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can see that. And I appreciate the honesty, because you know how many parents actually feel that way and won't say it. And, you know, and just
yeah,
won't say
course,
it, but...
Yeah, because I... Right, yeah.
You know, and to be honest, I've actually used, not knowing that would have been one of the most difficult things for you, but I've actually used the fact of how accepting, you know, you are to them. And because, you know, I've had conversations with people with, oh, you know, well, you know, I've come out and my parents put me out, or they did this and that, da da da.
Oh, no.
And, you know, and it bothers me. And I was like, my mother and father never did that. I was like,
no.
It's still the time that you a boy, you a girl, what you do with your personal life, that's your business. But at the end of the day, you still my daughter, you still my son. That is what that is.
Exactly.
You know, and even as siblings, we don't care. It's whatever. Like, that does not change
right.
the fact that you are my brother, my sister, and I love you, which is something that from you and what's instilled in us, you know, that's what we, you know, that's who we are, regardless to what happens. You've always raised us. At the end of the day, you are all you're going to have is each other. So you
that's
have
it.
To be there for each other. You have to make sure. So that,
that's it.
Yes, I definitely appreciate, you know, your honesty on that. That was, I wasn't expecting that, I'll be honest. I didn't know what to expect. But that was, yeah. I definitely appreciate the honesty on that. So if there were things that you could do over, what would you do? At least two things you could do over. What would they be?
Two things that I could do over, what would it be? Oh, wow. Two things. Well, let me see. I believe one thing it would be to try and, how can I put it? To try and, like, teach my children things that I know now, I didn't know then, but as I look back and I'm like, if I could do it over, if there was a way to go back and redo it, you know, I would want to go back with my children and to teach them, you know, and instruct them and show them and plan with them on how to make things a lot better for your lifestyle, the choices that we make in life, teaching them that the choices that we make in life, we have to be careful what you choose to do and careful of the places, even the people that you choose, because sometimes, you know, the choices that we make are not always good choices. So I would have liked to have been able to teach my children, make better choices in life, so that, you know, when things start getting to the point where it might get a little tough, hey, I know how to get through this, and I can get through this. You know,
right.
And you said two things. What would be the second thing? If I could go back, maybe I would have not started so soon having children. Maybe that'd have been one. You know, that's about it. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Okay, we'll take it. Okay, so, so I don't know. I don't remember if I asked this. So I know as children we have certain memories of things that we did with our parents, our families that we'll forever remember. What are some of the memories you have that pretty much, let's say, were highlights for you as a mom, those things that made you just stand back and maybe cry or smile and say, I've raised, this person or that person?
Oh, man, Jesus. Oh, God, I have so many memories. I really do. I have so many awesome memories of my kids and things that we've done that they, oh gosh, you want me to pick out? Woo, okay. That gee whiz. Let's see here. Let me see. I remember when my oldest son in New York, Tommy, and he learned to play the drums, and it was so funny. He wanted to be in the band in the middle school, and he was a little thing then. He was in middle school, but he was little, and he played the drums, and I remember going to his first concert, and I remember standing there looking at him playing those drums, and he was so little. Oh, my God. But he really played them. Oh, my, I'm telling you, it brings tears to my eyes now just thinking about it. He really played them drums. God, I'm telling you, he played those drums. And then there was my son, Josh. Oh, man. He was in high school, middle school, I think. He was in his play. And it was a teen angel. Oh, my God. I was so proud of him. God, was I. I mean,
yes.
I just have so many moments of my children where I was just so proud of them. He sung, I don't know how many people that are listening that have ever seen the movie with Frankie Avalon playing Teen Angel, and he sung that song about beauty school dropout and all that. Yeah, he was the first one that sung it, but oh, my God. When my son Josh stood up on that stage and he sung that song, Beauty School Dropout, oh my God, you could have bought me with nothing. I was the proudest mom in the auditorium. I didn't care about nobody else. I had tears. I was like, oh my God, is that him? Josh is singing. Can you? Oh my God, do you hear him? And the note, when he hit that note, girl, I could have went through the floor. I could have went
through the floor.
I'm like, God, I just, he sung that thing. That boy,
I wish I could find that tape.
I wished I had that tape. That boy sung, and I was, you know what, I was looking, because I wanted to look at this other mom when we were getting ready to go in, and she said something smart about the young man singing Beauty School Dropout, and I didn't say nothing at that time. And I when he sung it, I looked in her face because I wanted to say, yes, that's mine. That one was mine. He did that. You know? But, oh, my God, I'm telling you. And even with the rest of my kids, oh, God, when you guys formed the group Transparent, oh, man, I did not know that my children had so much harmony in their voices. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm like, God, you giving me these children with all this talent, Jesus. Wow. So I have memories and moments that I just sit and I think about all of my children, each and every one of them, the things that they have done and how far that they have come. And I'm telling you, I am so, so very proud of them. To y'all, there's not one of my children that I've given birth, and I have no twins, they're all single births, that I could say, well, I could do without that one, or I could do without that one. No, I love them all. I don't know how far you can say you can love them, but my children are my heart. They are my heart. And I have, as Shaydon has said, I have adopted children. Not legally adopted, but they adopted me.
Yeah, we don't know them.
And I have children that I've never laid eyes on, but they adopted me as mom. And they call me, and they be like, hey, Mom, this is so-and-so. And, you know, I don't know your face. And then when they tell me who, I say, oh, yeah, baby, how you doing? But, you know, to me, it's a great honor. I have people here that call me Mom. Hi, Mom. I have them calling me Mima or whatever, you know, that have adopted. My children, like some people say, their children bring home stray cats and dogs. My children bring home children. My children
that
always
is
brought
true.
Home children. My, and guess what? It didn't matter. My children brought home children, and it didn't matter to me. We all going to sit down. We're going to eat. We're going to laugh. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to have fun, and that's what I like to do with my children. So, I mean, I thank God for each and every one of them. I really, really do. They are jewels to me. I'm the richest woman to me. I'm the richest woman in the world because I have jewels that God gave me, and I love them all. I really do. And it's not who's my favorite. I don't have a favorite. They all my favorite because they all have individual things that they do. So, you
right.
know.
Now, speaking to that point, so how difficult of a task was it to learn and juggle all of those different personalities? Because on some, I'll say on a couple of, most of us have aggressive personalities.
Yeah.
But we're still, we can be aggressive, but we're different still. So how did even dealing with, you know, because I mean, honestly, it's probably maybe two that's really not aggressive, two or three, but then for the most part, the rest of us are all aggressive. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you got Nahum is not that aggressive. Nahum's the more laid back.
He's more laid back.
Yeah, John is a little bit. John can go either way, depending on which way you rub him. But for the most part, John has stayed in his own.
And who's the other? Who's the third one? Who?
And
that's it.
It's two. Just those two.
That's it.
But you have those two. That's not aggressive. Everybody else aggressive, but still, even in aggression, they have different personalities. How did
There's
you learn
levels.
And juggle that?
There are different levels of aggression with you guys. It really is. There's different levels. But I don't know. You know what? It just came natural to me, I guess. I don't know. It was like once you were born, once the baby was born, and you once after you reach 1-2 years old, it's like, okay, I know you. I know you. I know what this one will do. It's like, okay, I don't know. Like, example, my oldest boy, Tommy. Tommy was the mm-hmm. type of child that, believe it or not, Tommy don't like sweets. He didn't ever like sweets.
Right.
That's funny. Children love sweets. Tommy didn't care for sweets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy was also the type of child that when he got sleepy, he would, instead of just whining and acting cranky and, you know, got to get a spanking sometimes, Tommy would go get into bed and go to sleep. It's like he says, okay, boy, it's time to go to bed, not go get in bed. Now, when there was Joshua on the other hand, Joshua was, he was the little mischievous one.
Say that.
Joshua, I had to keep an eye on
Joshua. He's going to hurt me about that.
I know. Josh was the type of baby that you put him in the crib and say, okay, Josh, it's time to lay down now, take a nap. And you give him a bottle and you walk out the room, and by the time I get to the living room, Josh is standing in the living room door looking at me. Now you're trying to figure out, well, how did this kid get out of this crib? I just put you in that crib. He couldn't climb over it because the rail was too high. So I take you and I put you back in the crib. So now I'm learning that, okay, I got one child that is very mild-mannered that will go lay down, no problem. You ain't got to worry about him. Then I got this other kid right here that I'm learning that I got to keep an eye on him because he will get into stuff. You got to watch him.
Uh-huh.
If you don't keep an eye on him, he's liable to do something, and he does, okay? So I'm learning that. Then when you came along, it was like, okay, you was the girly. Really, you were.
Uh-huh.
You were not the tomboyish at all. You were the girly. You love to put things. Not too much. Not really. No, you ain't had nothing on Marcy or Jaleesa.
You're right.
You ain't had nothing on Marcy or Jaleesa. You were girly. You loved putting things on your hair and looking in the mirror and smiling. You was always the type that was ready to take a picture no matter what. You know, you was the girly, okay? And you didn't prefer to do a whole lot of, you know, playing with stuff like that. You just didn't. Okay. Marcy backing mm-hmm. it up to Miss Marcy. Now Miss Marcy was a little bit tomboyish. She was a tough little girl. Oh God. She loved to get out there and race with the guys and show them that just because I'm a girl, I can beat you running. Okay. Marcy would fight a boy just as well as fight a girl. She didn't care. She was that girl. Yeah, she didn't care. And so was Jaleesa. Okay? Jaleesa loved to be dangerous, climbing. She, you know, I got her on a skirt and I looked and she's up in a tree. So I'm like, get out of that tree. So I learned each one of my kids and I learned that different ones, I could talk to them certain ways, and then there were certain ones that I couldn't talk to them certain ways because they couldn't handle it like that. There was even as far as I learned that there were some of my children that I had to spank you. I had to. I know a lot of people don't believe in that now. That's corporal punishment, whatever. Okay, that's you, but this was me. And I didn't abuse my children, but I did spank them, okay? And there was some that I had to spank because after I done told you time and time, stop doing that. Don't do that. Leave that alone. Put it down. No, you determined to keep doing what you want to do, so I had to spank you. Then there was some I had that I very rarely had to even hardly raise my voice.
Like me.
You know. I'm
such a good child.
Except for the one time, right, Shannon? Except for the one time.
Let's keep it moving. We're not talking about that. You were trying to bring that up.
But like, the baby boy John.
Mm-hmm.
John was like a mild-mannered child. He really was. And when John was born, you know, I said that the good Lord knew that I was getting tired. And, you know, it's a lot of energy dealing with a lot of kids. But, you know, I didn't complain. But God knows all things. And when I had John, I guess the Lord said it was time. And she's tired now, okay? And John was really a good kid. You know, I didn't have to really yell at him or scream at him or whoop him or too much or anything like that with him. I really didn't. He just was a sweet baby. He really was. He was a sweet baby. Shema, when Shema was born, Shema was a sweet baby. Shema never did a lot of crying. He didn't. He was not a crier. He only would maybe start whining a little bit when he wanted to eat. After he ate, you changed him, got him cleaned up. He was good. You didn't hear no more out of that baby. He was fine. And those were blessings to me that I looked up and I said, you know, God understands that, you know, I needed a break here and there. So here and there, God blessed me. He gave me breaks. Even with all my children, there were breaks that he gave me. And he was like, that's not going to be that way. No, that one ain't going to be like that. So, you know, I'm grateful for all of that. I really am. I really am. And hey, I did things with the children to make it fun with them, to have fun. I grew up with my children, in a sense. Yeah. I wasn't too old when I had them, so I was able to enjoy them. I was able to laugh with them. I was able to, you know, we could do silly things together, but still they knew I was mama. Okay?
Absolutely.
And whenever mama said, that's enough, then that's enough. That's it.
That's true. Now that is true. That is very true. Now, let me talk about this real quick, because I think every child that has had children in America, we need to understand why y'all don't do these grandchildren like y'all used to do us. I mean, we cut up, y'all was quick to get us. They act up, and y'all, they just being a baby. They just being a child. I need to understand why we couldn't just be children. And the grandkids can't be just children now.
Well, see, explain. I mean, we have that right look. I'm looking at it this way. I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just saying. I believe as grandparents, we have this right. Because one thing, as grandparents, and we look at our grandchildren, okay, and to us, that's an honor. We got grandchildren. I got grandbabies. Wow. You know, it's like, wow, I got grandbabies. So we don't want y'all messing over them because y'all don't know how to discipline them. So,
seriously?
You know,
Wait a minute. We don't know how to discipline them.
No, y'all don't know.
So who says that how y'all disciplined us was right?
I don't look. I'm just telling you. Y'all don't know. You know, it's y'all too hard on them. Y'all got to give them time. They only being kids. You know, they only being a kid. Now, when they really do something that is really, really like, you know, I would consider really bad, and after your mommy, you know me, if mommy and daddy done told y'all not to do something, y'all keep doing it, you know I'm the first one to say, look, grandma got your back, but daddy done told you to stop, and so you wouldn't stop. So, grandma, I'll back off. It hurts me because I don't want to see you get spanked, but you got to learn the lesson. So, you know, it all depends. It all depends. You can't pop them for everything they do. You just can't hit them for everything. Come on.
What do y'all pop them for everything? Well, at least it felt like it.
Look. That was back then. This is now. That was then. You know, that was back then. You can't bring up
Listen,
that. You can't bring up
the
that.
Way I see it then is I need them to feel what I felt. So in order for them to feel what I felt, I'm getting them. They got to get it because you won't give it to them. How about that?
No. That's why I said y'all don't know how to discipline them. Because I didn't get you for everything you did.
I didn't do a lot. I was a good child.
Okay, then. So
wait, you going to go with what was the silent pause about?
Huh?
Oh, you heard? Oh, okay. This is how we gonna play this tonight, huh?
Okay. Okay, I see how you go with this. That's fine. I got you. Y'all hear this?
I'm just here to protect my grandbabies. That's all. I'm just here to protect my grandbabies.
And I don't understand what they need protection from.
From y'all.
How about, and I'm going to confer with my siblings. How about we just bring them all to you and just let you, and then you can protect them.
Look, you know me and my grandbabies, we have our days. You know that. You know, I make time.
No.
For me and my grandbabies to do.
No, I'm not talking about a day. You can protect them always. How about that?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. I done got older. I don't have the energy or the strength that I had with you guys. I just don't. I love them to pieces. And I can deal with them for a few hours. And then after that, I'm tired.
Uh-huh. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I hear you. So I'm gonna let it be for right now. But I promise you, I'm talking to my siblings, and I'm gonna play this back.
See, grandbabies, we send them home. I couldn't send you guys nowhere.
Oh, so y'all can go ahead and spoil them and make them feel like grandma's house is the safe place, and then send them home.
There you go. You got it. In a nutshell.
Mm, okay.
That's what it's all about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I was told to give you a message. Someone's listening and said, you up here trying to act like you're sweet, and they said your other son knows the truth. This one of your adopted children, they know the truth.
About what?
About you. You're trying to act like you're sweet with the grandchildren and all of that, but they said they know the truth of who you are.
I'm lost.
And I let you figure out which adopted son that is.
It better not be Nick.
So. How you just going to call him out just like that? Listen. So let me ask you this, right? So it's a lot of new age mothers. And a lot of things that, you know, people don't believe in like you used to believe. I remember when I had my son and, you know, you go into the house for 2 weeks. You don't come out unless it's the doctor's appointment. You're going to wear this girdle. Where's your girdle? Get your girdles right. You make sure that they hold everything up after you have the baby. All of these kinds of things. Don't let people kiss on your kids when you're your baby. Don't let a woman have all her menstrual hold your baby.
Please.
All of these things. And a lot of people don't uphold these things anymore at this moment. They do not believe in it. Oh, those are old wives things. No, I can, you know, actually just today at work, it was a young lady. One young lady had a baby. She texted me this morning. She had her baby 4:00 this morning. One of the other girls worked there. Oh, I'm going up there today to go hold the baby. And I looked at him. No, you're not. You don't go hold a baby. That baby hasn't even been in the world 24 hours yet. What do you mean you're going to go? You're dirty. Y'all know me. I don't hold back. You're dirty. You're nasty. You're running up and through here all day. You got the elements on you. Don't touch that baby. You can go see the baby, but don't touch it. But those are just some things. But tell me some of the things that you've seen or heard or witnessed about these new age mothers that sometimes you wish you could just step in and just like kind of help them out or whatever have you.
Oh, Shay, it's
things that
so
maybe
much.
Make you cringe.
It's you know what, Shay, it's so much on a serious note that I tell a lot of people, I guess I'm old school, and I'm not an old woman, but I'm old school to certain things. Certain things I just don't like, and I don't tolerate it. I see these new age moms, they have the baby today, and if the hospital discharged them today, they're out in the streets and about with their bodies half naked and running all over the place. And I get so like, oh, my God, I can't deal with it. I don't like it. You know, y'all think that a lot of stuff is old-fashioned and it's old fables and da-da-da-da. You think because you done gave birth to the baby and it's over with and you can just go out. What we women fail to understand is that when you give birth to a child, okay, your body has gone through a change, okay? You've carried something inside of you for whatever, however long you carry that baby, 7, 8, 9 months, whatever it is, okay? Now, your body is going through another change. It's expelling that baby. So now, everything that was held up inside of you while you was carrying that child is coming out, okay? So now, you need to, once they discharge you from the hospital, you need to go home, okay? You need to keep yourself in the house. Unless you got to go see the doctor, don't be out here running about in the streets. Oh, my God. I seen a young lady that had a baby, and she went home one day, and the next day she was out and about. She had no sleeves on and got the nerve to put on some heels and all this crap. And I was baby. Yeah, I first I was saying to myself, I'm not going to say nothing. But, you know, sometimes it's that something in you that you know, just maybe she might hear me, just maybe. And I told her, I said, honey, let me tell you something. I said, you just gave birth to your baby. I said, your body has to go back, honey. Okay, let's keep this thing real. Your womb, your sir, all this stuff got to go back.
Right.
And you putting on these heels and you sashaying around like this here, your body can drop.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, people don't tell. We got these newfangled mothers today that think it's all well and good for you to be running around because you done gave birth to the baby and everything is fine. Let me tell y'all something. The baby is okay, believe it or not. It ain't the baby that we concern about. Most people, well, the baby is big. Yeah, we concerned about the baby as far as, you know, letting in and everybody kissing all over them. I don't go for that stuff there either. In and everybody holding the baby, I don't go for that either. You know, passing the baby around, don't do that. Mm-mm. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But mothers, young mothers, take care of yourselves. If you give birth to your baby and it's cool outside, make sure you cover yourself up, honey. Cold can set into your pores because all of your pores are open. And when cold sets into your pores, you can have setbacks. Maybe y'all ain't never heard of it. But I heard a young lady come back to me and told me she had belonged to my church and she had a baby. And she came back to me and told me how she had a setback after she had that baby. And she ended up back in the hospital. She didn't know whether she was going to live or not. Because cold hadn't got in her body. Because why? You don't protect yourself. You want to come out with your shorts on and your chest all out and everything exposed because you think you done had the baby. You good, well, and fine. You're not good, well, and fine. You have to take care of your body yourself. Cover yourselves up.
Absolutely.
And I told this young lady, I said, cover your chest up, honey. Get you a scarf. Put it around your chest. Take them heels off and put you some flats on. It's going to be plenty enough time, baby, where you can get out there and finger pop and put and do whatever you want to do. But give your body time to heal. Give your body time to heal. They say 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
That's the minimum, okay? That's the minimum. We got these crazy doctors that are coming along now. I'm going to tell you the truth. I loved the doctors back then. I loved my grandmother and my mother-in-law. You know why? Because they knew how to keep you well. They knew how to make you strong. Okay? Put them girdles on so your stomach and your womb, all that can go back, honey. No, y'all want everything flip-flopping and flapping all over the place because you think that's cute. It's not cute. It's nasty.
Mm.
It's nasty. Put that girdle on. I told my granddaughter when she had them babies, I said, don't let me have to come up to that hospital and dress you because if I have to come up there, you ain't going to like me. So let me know what you're wearing out before you leave. And you better have your girdle. And you better put it on.
Absolutely.
Because I'm doing this to protect you so you can stay healthy because you got to take care of them children. You got to take care of them babies. But if you get sick,
God,
you don't take care of the babies. We get sick in our bodies and we down. Who going to take care of the children? Who? So the old school to me, is the best way. Like I said, these old crazy doctors they got now, and yeah, I call them crazy because they're crazy. We got the new doctors coming in. The old doctors done passed away, so you got the new doctors coming in. And they'll tell you, oh, get in the shower. You can wash your hair. You can do that. You better not wash your hair. You better wait till that baby get old enough because it's you.
Yep.
You got to take care of you. You ain't got no business climbing up and all this stuff, all high stuff and reaching up and carrying on. It's craziness. And like I said before, 9 months you carried a child. So everything, if y'all understand what I'm talking about, it stopped pretty much for 9 months. After you gave birth to that baby, then everything started. You know what your body is doing now? It's cleaning itself out.
Yep.
It's cleaning itself. And you do not need to be fast tailing it around people smelling. Just be real about it. Get somewhere and sit down. Okay? And think about these things. I don't care nothing about you talking about I put on deodorant, I put on this, I wash up. Sit down somewhere. Sit down somewhere. Take care of that baby. And stop letting everybody kiss on the baby and holding the baby, passing it around like it's a doll or like it's a piece of food. No, you want to know
that's
why the baby
true.
Got all these bumps and crap in their face? Because you letting any and everybody put their lips on. You don't know where these people's mouths been. You letting them put their hands all in the baby's faces. You don't know where their hands been. They come up
I
to
know
the
that's
baby.
Right.
They got on the same clothes. They got on the same clothes. They done worked in all day long. And then here they come grabbing the baby. They got all them germs and all that mess that they done had from out there where they done been at, cigarette smoke and everything else. And you letting them hold your baby and the baby breathing in all that crap from their clothes. You better understand. You got this. It's old school, honey. But nobody listens to people like that no more because we don't know nothing. But that's
and,
why
and
grandmama
let me just, let me
live
just,
to be the ages that they live.
You better say that. And let me just say this real quick because there was a comment, well, you know, sometimes single mothers don't have a choice. This is true. However, I will
that's
say this.
True.
They may not have a choice. They have to go out and have to get back to work. But single mothers, please still cover yourself appropriately. Still put on your girdle. Don't you don't need to put heels on to go to work.
You, no, you
it's
don't.
All, it's only
no, you
temporary.
Don't.
You don't. I got. No, you don't, baby.
No, you
take
don't.
Take care of yourself. You can go to work, but make sure you have yourself covered appropriately. And especially
right.
if you work in a place like mine, where that AC is disrespectful in my area. Make
yeah.
sure that
yeah.
you have a jacket or sweater. And something to cover
exactly.
because you don't want that cold to get into your pores. So being a single mother does not negate the fact that you can still take, care,
you take
of
care of yourself. That's right.
You still have
that's
to take care of yourself.
Right. Still.
So, and I just want to touch basic on this real quick, because I know for me. There are a lot of things that I look at with these modern-day mothers. And, yes, things have changed. But like you said, sometimes the old way is the best way. Because, I mean, really look at it. They would have 13, 14 kids and still live to be 70, 80, 90 years old.
Yeah.
And doing
longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even longer. So definitely a lot of the things they did, you might want to hold on to that. But I'm just going to go – you know, off on a tangent right here real quick. With some of these new age mothers, please, please, mothers, let's not think that we know everything. Let's not think that we have the answers because we read up on some stuff or we've done. Listen, to me, the best experience the best knowledge you can absorb is knowledge from somebody giving you direct feedback that have been there before. Just because there's new science, just because there are new things happening or whatever the case may be, does not mean that you know it all. It does not mean that accepting help from somebody else is going to kill you. If your child gets a cold and if somebody's telling you, listen, my mother would tell me, oh, it's just a cold, do this right here. And guess what? I do that, and he's just fine. You don't have to rush them to the hospital. Oh, my God, they're sick. Baby, listen, what did the people just tell you to do? Your mama just told you to put that humidifier over there, put a little Vicks in that humidifier, rub this stuff on their feet, put some socks on them, cover them, and let them sleep.
Yep.
Pat them on their back, turn them over on their back, pat them, let them cough it out, or it's going to come out, and they still, it'll come out. There's nothing the hospital's going to do. Listen to somebody. Listen to them. Because part of the problem that we have within our community, within our culture in itself, is nobody wants to listen to what somebody else can tell them that can help you.
Mm-mm.
They're
Mm-mm.
not just talking to you because they want to run your life. They're talking because they want to help. And that is supposed to be the cycle of life. As you learn, you teach. You don't learn to keep it to yourself because it does nothing there. It does nothing for anybody. So please be open and willing to accept whatever feedback or whatever help they want to give you. They're only, like I said, they're only trying to help. If they see the manner in which you're getting ready to chastise your child looks a little crazy, and they say, hey, you might want to do a little, this is my child. That kind of comment is not necessary. It's not necessary. It's not that they're trying to take over your child or take your child. They're simply trying to help you avoid something else on the other end of that.
Exactly.
Take time to listen. Take time to take that feedback and to listen to your elders. Listen to, so what, they are stranger and you don't know them. So what? It should never have to be a point that they have to know you for me to help you. Half the people
that's
that are going to ever help you in your life is somebody that has no idea who you are.
That's
all they
true.
Know is they see a need and they're going to want to come in to help. Allow the people to help you. So
uh-huh.
I definitely want to throw that out because I hear a lot of that and it drives me insane, you know, to hear people, oh, you don't know me or they don't, and they got their mouth in my business. This is my child. This is what I do. Yeah, we understand that's your child. And nobody's trying to do anything to harm you or your child. Just show you a different way. So, let me bring it on in so we can, because our time is winding up here. So I wanted to touch on this latest project that we just released today. Yay! For a Mother's Heart. For a Mother's Heart book population. As I read it, I can honestly say, I think for a lot of mothers, I mean, I'll say this. I have my mother throughout, you know, raising my son. I have my mother to help me. You know, my mama snapped me back in a minute, like, no, you're doing too much with him. You're giving him too much. Pull back. He needs to know that he can't, you know. So she's there to check me as I check him. And she knows I'm always open and willing. I may not like it initially, but at the end of the day, I know, you know, she's trying to help make me a better mother. And for those mothers that may not have what I have, I think this book is definitely a great stand-in, so to speak. It's coming from an angle of different mothers, different, you know, all over the country, honestly. And one thing for certain, two things for sure, everybody is pretty much had to deal with some of the same issues. Some of the same situations with children, some of the, you know, so a lot of the same. And but they're telling you, giving you tips. They're giving you tips and giving you help, giving you all of the different things that you need to have, or maybe even don't know that you need. So, you know, it's affirmations. There's prayers. There's letters from our children, letters from whomever. But it is something that I truly believe is going to bless every mother that reads it. Absolutely going to bless them. And I just wanted to say this because this is actually your very first time being in a book. So tell me, how does that feel, and to know, to tell me, like, this is your first time being in any kind of a book, and to know that it's this type of book that you're in. How does that feel?
To be honest with you, I don't think it's really sunk in yet. it's like I don't know. It really has not, I guess, like, really hit me yet to really, and I don't know. Honestly, I'm lost for words. Believe it or not.
Listen. Listen, so okay, so let me just let me see. I'm trying to see if I can actually just pull up a piece here, because I believe your piece, well, you know what, I'm not going to read read it. I'll just talk about your piece is talking about how a mother needs to be patient with herself. You know, mm-hmm. So you got to be patient with the kids. You have to, you know, be patient with the children, patient with the children. Patient, but you come from the angle of mother, be patient with you. Talk
with
just
you.
Just a little
yes.
bit. Just talk about being patient with how a mother needs to be patient with herself. Just a tad for us.
Just a little bit, just to be saying to be patient with yourself, because sometimes being a mother, and if you've got, sometimes even, I'm going to just say even one child, depending, but if you got one more than one, sometimes it becomes overwhelming sometimes, and you lose patience with yourself, because one, sometimes you might feel that you're not, you don't know what you're doing. You're not sure of how to do it. Am I doing the right thing? Did I do the right thing? I don't know what I'm doing. I can't
mm-hmm.
figure this out. I don't know. And you know, it becomes overwhelming to you. And then you feel like, well, I don't think I'm a good mother. I don't think that I wasn't a great mother. I didn't do that right. But you've got to learn that everything comes with time. And you have to be patient with yourself. Give yourself time. You got to give yourself time.
Yes.
Just like being patient with your children, you got to be patient with you to give yourself time to understand and know that, you know, a lot of people write books on how to raise children and how to be a good mother and how to be a good father and all this stuff like that. To me, it's a bunch of crap. I'm serious. I just don't. To me, it comes with experience, because each individual is different. One person does not
right.
have the monopoly on how that I should be a mother, how I should, because one, every child is different. Every child
mm-hmm.
is different. And if you have more than one, you know, child, all of them are different. They all got different personalities. They all got different spirits. They're different. So as being a mother, I had to take time out and realize I had to learn that me being their mother, I had to be patient with me. Okay, I had to
yes.
stop and stand back sometimes and say, okay, well, breathe, girl. So it ain't nothing wrong with talking to yourself. Don't let nobody tell you you're crazy because you talk to yourself. No, you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. Okay,
I know
sometimes
that's right.
I had to tell myself, Ruth, stop, breathe. All right, go sit down and collect your thoughts. Get your mind right, girl. Get your mind right. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying. Think about how you want to deal with this or handle this. Now think it through, girl, and then let's try it again. Let's try this again. Because you just can't say that you're going to be the perfect mom. Yeah,
absolutely.
No. Yeah, yeah, the perfect mom. No. I made a lot of mistakes. Some that I wished I could go back and redo. But I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? I learned from that. And I move on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, don't be hard on yourself and think that, oh, I was a bad mother. No. Do the best that you can do. And that's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Do the
and that is something.
You
and I tell y'all, that's something she's always told me, because we've had those conversations like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. You know, I feel like I'm missing something. I'm going to mess up his life. And that's something she'd always say to me. Listen, you're doing what you know how to do. And what you know how to do, you're doing a good job at that. And you're learning more every single day that, you're growing it every day. So even as you said
yep.
earlier, you grew with your children. That's so true.
Right.
Like I grow with my son. I grow
right.
every day, because it's something different, and I may see something. Okay, well, maybe I could have done this a little different. Okay, maybe let me try to approach this a different way, and it helps
right.
me to grow with him and to understand him better. Him, you know, me and his relationship grows a little bit more with that each day. So it is definitely something that I'll say. Being patient with myself and not beating myself up about it. That is definitely something that I had to actually put into practice. And I'm not going to say it was easy just after she told me. It took some time, but it's more and more each day it gets easier.
to say, okay, today was a good day. You know, today was a good day at it. You know, there was no hiccups today with anything. So we seemed to be okay, you know. And I mean, yeah, I think that was just like a really, really awesome piece of advice. And I'm glad that that was the one that's in the book. I'm glad that that's the piece of advice that's in For a Mother's Heart. Because as mothers, I think we all go through that, and some of us are more silent about it than others. You know, some of us, you know, probably some mothers probably sit and cry about it at times thinking, yeah, you know, I'm not doing right by my children. I'm not doing enough for my children.
Right.
And then,
right,
you know, we, you know, it's always, and I think the big piece of the book for me that I love is because we're always, like you said, they write the books about how to raise children or how to, you know, to be a good mom, to raise children, but nobody actually speaks to the mother's mental state, the mother's mind, the mother's heart of,
right,
take it easy, mom, you all right, you got this, you know, be patient with yourself, you know, you're necessary, you know, everything you need, you're equipped with, you got this. And so the fact that, like I said, you chose, you know, to tell mothers to be patient with themselves, to be in this book, I think is awesome. So, yeah, the book is For a Mother's Heart. Right now, for today and tomorrow, it is on pre-order for $2.99 through Amazon. So definitely get your copy, gift it to somebody for Mother's Day. And then the official orders are ready and set for to be released on Mother's Day. So give somebody an awesome Mother's Day gift of letting them know where, you know, it help encouraging moms to keep going. Let them know, yeah, we all know what it feels like. We all know how this journey goes. And,
yeah,
and quite frankly, we fall sometimes, because I know I have.
We all do.
But it's okay.
It's okay.
No, mommy, I don't think you've fallen like that many times. You probably in your mind, but honestly, I would tell you in our mind, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
I think a lot of times, believe me. But you know what? I fell. But the thing was, what gave me the strength to get back up and to be honest with you guys, is that because I thought about you all and my children, and I was like, I have to get up for them. I got to be strong for them. So, yeah, I fell a lot of times. I did. But I realized that I couldn't stay there, because if I'd have stayed there,
yeah,
then my thought was, what will happen to my children if I stay here? I got to get up from here. I can't stay here. I got to get up. And really, honestly, that's what did it.
Mm.
So,
well,
you know,
you
don't be afraid to fall, but just know that, because we're not perfect. But if you fall, is one thing my father always say, you can fall, but don't lay there and wallow. Get up. Brush yourself off and try it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell you, she's instilled that in me, because I can't tell y'all how many times. I'm telling you. I will say this. I've never seen, I've seen, you know, some hurt. I've seen some things of that nature, but I can't say where I've seen her fail us. There's never a moment where we can say, any one of us, and I told you, this is a mother of 11 children, so I can't see where any one of us could say, she failed me. Now, I can go back and be petty and talk about my fifth grade field day, but I'm not going to do that today. I won't do that today.
I tried to get there.
I'm just saying. You know. But as far
I know.
But as far as in general, like I can tell y'all honestly, honestly, this woman, every day we had a full course meal. Every single day. Unless we decided to go out. There was outside of that, and those go out days were very, I mean, they weren't that few and far between. It might have been maybe once a month, because you got to think about it. This is a lot of children. So
yeah,
maybe like once a month, or maybe, so depending on, you know, what they were feeling like, maybe twice a month. But outside of that, it was a hot meal there every single day for us.
So not only was she there to see us off to school, she was there when we got home from school, checking on that homework, making sure we got it together, making sure those chores were right. My sister can attest to going in and behind us, checking our room. Did you clean up? No, you lied. All this stuff you threw in this closet on the floor, she's pulling it all out, plus pulling the clothes down off the hangers and all, because you're going to do all this all over. Yes, she was just that cruel sometimes. But she's
cruel.
Going in if you – that was cruel. I think that was some extra punishment that we didn't need. I think it was.
That wasn't cool.
She would even go in making sure when you clean the kitchen. No, you don't just – you're not just washing dishes when you clean the kitchen. You're cleaning – you're wiping off cleaning off this stove. You're wiping down the countertops, wiping down the cabinet. You're wiping up the refrigerator. If she opens that refrigerator
Everything. And
looks in the – and the runner, now this was cruel. If she looks in the runner of the refrigerator and it doesn't look like you took a butter knife and a rag with some bleach and went in those lines, she's having a fit. But these were things instilled in us. These were things that she wanted to make sure that as her children, and like I said, it's not just girls. I mean, she's got six boys. And to be honest, I think some of those boys are like OCD with cleanliness and what have you. But it's because of what I promise. Some of them, a couple of them, I don't even like to go in their house because if I got to take off my shoes right here and all this foolery, you're going to work my nerves. Love y'all, I mean it. But it's because of what you gave us. It's because of knowing that even at this moment in our lives, regardless of our age, regardless of where we at, if we call mommy, we'd know she's got us.
Oh yeah.
And without the shadow of a doubt, like I told you, you're my rider, my queen, my right hand, everything. If we because like I said, because of that bond that you built with us and some people might say, well, she's got favorites. Honestly, I tell y'all this, she has no favorites. She has no favorite. Everybody's relationship is different.
Everybody's relationship
is absolutely. And I stood back one day and paid attention to that. While this one she can talk to, like now she'll tell me and her, I'd be having a conversation and I'll say something crazy. And she'd be like, girl, if you don't sit down with your stupid self, that's just me and her. And she know I laugh and get on with it. But my, I have maybe have a sister over here and she can't talk to her like that. She has to come at a different angle and actually, go into depth with her and, but she has a different way of connecting with each of us. And even with her grandchildren, it's the same. It's a different way of connecting. And, she's that real mother that honestly, I don't mind sharing her. I don't mind other people calling her, hey, Ma, I got a question. Hey, Ma, how do I do this? Hey, I don't mind sharing her. Now, I will be honest. It was a moment in time that I didn't like it. I'm going to be real honest about this. That's
you,
my
you
mother.
Were. You really were.
And let me
thank
still
God,
be honest, and depending on some of it, because depending on who it is today, they're going to get the side eye.
You're right.
But
you're right.
I'm proud to share her because I'm proud of you, rather. I'm proud to share you because I know what you've instilled in me. I know the strength that I have to do what I have to do, to never stop, never fall. I mean, I'm going to fall, but never just lay there to make sure that my child is taken care of, to make sure that every move
right.
I make is in line with the goals and the desires that I have for us as a unit, me and my baby.
Right.
I know for
right.
a fact that, that you've got my back. And I just want you to know that from the bottom of my heart, and I know but that I love you to life. I love you with everything in me. Absolutely, there's no other one mother in this world better to me, than you. Like, I don't care what anybody says about their mother. I have the best mother in the world. I'm sorry. You can say what you want about yours. I don't know her, and I that's your business. But I have the absolute best mother in the world, and I'm so proud of her. And her first
Are
book,
you?
Yes, I'm so proud of her. Yes, ma'am.
Like I said, that haven't like kind of sat in on me yet. I know you keep telling me that, And it's like, okay, I hear you. But I'm like,
yes, girl, you're a published author. You are a published author, honey. Yes.
It,
yes,
it
you.
I just, before you close, I just like to say this one thing, Shadon, to the mothers. Also, one thing that I just keeps ringing in my heart. Mothers, take time out and listen to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Please listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just push them off and tell them, go somewhere and sit out, get out of my face, go play, go out there, go do something. Please listen to your children. Please.
Please.
That's the most important thing in the world. Don't think that everything that they're telling you is a lie. Don't think that they're just, you know, coming up with something. Pay attention to what they are saying to you. Please listen to them. Hear them out. Don't shut them down. Don't shut them up. Hear them out, please.
Hold on. So I have a question for you. I'm trying to understand the question. They say, okay, they say, you their mama too, and ask her, ask you why you weren't strong for them. I'm not sure.
Why I wasn't strong for you guys?
Yeah, I'm trying to get some clarity on that one. I'm not sure. I'm trying to get some clarity on that one. But while I'm waiting to get some clarity on that, just let me throw it out here again. So her book, like I said, she's published author, boop, boop. Yes, she is. As of today, For a Mother's Heart, 365-day devotional for inspiration for mothers. Gift it to somebody if it's not just for you. Gift it to somebody else. But it is definitely available on Amazon. You can go to bit.ly/4moms2019, or just go to Amazon and type in For a Mother's Heart, and it's in there. But definitely the quicker way to get to it is bit.ly/4moms2019. It is available today and tomorrow for the special reorder rate of $2.99, and then on Mother's Day it is available for regular order price. So go get that. Go get it. Support her. I promise. Moms, you will thank her for that. You will definitely thank her for it. You will appreciate what she has to say in there. You'll definitely appreciate it. So having said all of that, Mommy, thank you so much for joining. I love
your life.
I love your life. I love your life. And this was actually
something that helped somebody.
Oh, of course. You, of course, you always do. That's what you do. You know, even though we don't act like we want to listen sometimes, because, you know, I'm not gonna say I listen all the time. However,
I know.
But I always hear your voice come back to me when I've gone a different way than I should have. So.
Yeah.
I definitely appreciate that. But thank you so much for coming on. This was actually fun.
Oh, you're welcome.
And yes, and I'm telling, because he logged off, but that child earlier was Nick. So, yeah, I am telling.
I know it.
And so
See,
now that's an adopted child, and she already know who's doing what, who's saying what. But if you didn't catch the beginning of the show, please go back and listen. She dropped some great jewels. Young mothers, please go back and listen to some of the old remedies of wrapping yourselves up and how to take care of yourself, especially after childbirth. Stop listening to all this new age stuff, because, honey, I'm telling you, they 80, 90 years old, still living after having had 14, 15 kids. They did it because of what they knew to do and how to take care of their body.
Right.
Pay attention to what they're telling you. I promise you they're not leading you wrong. But as we sign it off, I love every one of y'all to life. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining in. Until next time, y'all, take care of yourself. Be good to yourself. Love yourself. Be patient with yourself. And I love y'all to life. See y'all later. Love you. Mean it. This is Shadon signing out, y'all.
Liberty. Love.
Forgiveness. Shy. Dawn.